Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland and 1-800-727-5955. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up this hour, we got Jolie from the front desk with another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. Later on, today's top five in honor of Hugh Hefner, 50 years ago today, putting out the first issue of Playboy magazine. It's out black and white with Marilyn on the front. We got today's top five guys that other guys most want to be like. And we got that. Let's just do the Goonies news here. We've been talking about the Goonies sequel for a long time, and it's purportedly in development, or it's, you know, waiting for, you know, an approval, or it's, you know, in the script series. You hear all kinds of things. We've been following that for a long time on the show. The sequel to the, what is it, 1984? Whatever. Whenever that, 84, 85. Sequel to the movie from the mid-80s. Steven Spielberg, Richard Donner. Sloth Love Chunk. So the latest thing on the sequel is this. That Richard Donner, who directed the original and would presumably direct the sequel, has said now that he and Spielberg have got the story, they've got the plot, they've secured the involvement of the kids, now they're waiting for a green light from the studio. Here's why this is a made-up story. Here's how you can tell it's a fabricated story. Because in no conceivable world that you and I live in does Steven Spielberg have to wait to get something greenlit by the studio. It doesn't happen. Especially something that's, that was already a hit once, especially something that's a sequel, it's got a built-in market. There's Steven Spielberg got the movie studio to, they greenlit a depressing black-and-white movie about World War II and the Holocaust. I mean, Steven Spielberg doesn't have to get approval for things. If anybody on Earth can just do whatever he wants, it's that guy. So, here's what obviously is happening. Richard Donner, the director, is looking to get the movie made, hasn't secured the agreement of Spielberg to cooperate or the studio, but he's got the kids to cooperate. He is therefore just floating the story that he and Spielberg are waiting for the studio to say yes in hopes that by saying it, it will eventually become so. He's hoping that by saying it out loud, it happens.
So I don't understand. Is he resetting it with the original cast?
It's going to be
updated.
It's going to be
where
the Goonies sequel
now?
Presumably takes place, in the present day, and it involves the original cast members, now adults, plus a new group of teenagers, presumably their children. That would be my guess. I mean, I know that it has the original cast plus some new kids, because you got to bring in the youth market too. So it makes sense that the new kids would probably be the children of the original Goonies. I'm just speculating on that last part, but that seems to be the logical way that it would unfold. So that's one of those things where he's just saying it out loud, hoping that it sort of becomes true. I did find out also, since we're just wallowing in our geekdom, we might as well just roll it here for a second. I found out that here's kind of the definitive thing about Peter Jackson directing The Hobbit once Lord of the Rings is done and he finishes defiling King Kong. Apparently what happens is that MGM and New Line own half the rights to The Hobbit. It's like MGM owns the publishing rights. New Line owns the distribution rights or something. The point is that they're split the rights, and so neither of them is able to make it on their own, and the studios can't come up with some sort of an agreement to do it together. So Peter Jackson can want to do it all he wants. We can all sit around and want him to do it, but until the studios come to some sort of rapprochement, it's not going to happen. So I wouldn't hold your breath for that anytime soon. Hey, we do have some interview clips with Andy Serkis, the guy who... Is that his name? Andy Serkis, the guy who plays Gollum?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's coming up this hour, so you want to be listening for that. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, the Rick Emerson Show. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
And now, it's not just news. It's news with Tim Riley, live from the newsroom of Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
With a strut of a fashion model, a local llama walked away with the top ribbon at the nation's largest llama show. 2-year-old Mackenzie was raised in Eugene. She clinched first prize in the Alpalka and Llama Show Association's national championships in Nebraska. In its sixth year, the Nebraska show is the nation's largest llama show. Mackenzie won the confirmation competition in the light bull category for 2-year-old males.
Why are you reading this?
It's about llamas.
Okay.
Just not any ordinary llama. This is a therapy llama. She visits local nursing homes where residents can view and pet her.
That's adorable.
Isn't it?
It really is. And that llama spat on you, though. Isn't the llama one of those things that Jackson has?
If you give it chewing tobacco, yes, but keep its things out of its mouth, you'll be fine.
All right.
A driver wanted for hit and run in Tenino turned himself into police in Olympia. State police say 24-year-old Nicholas L. Sims of Tenino told police he thought he hit a deer. He actually hit and killed 46-year-old Richard Miller.
Well, you know, Richard Miller, deer. What are you going to do?
Let's see. Should I say this for Jolie later?
No, I know she's listening now. You might as well read it now.
Attention, Jolie. Flu cases among young pregnant women surged to a large public hospital, calling attention to yet another group of serious risk of the flu. About 80 expectant mothers have been diagnosed with the flu since early October, and more than 60 have been treated for a time in the intensive care unit of Parkland Hospital. Pregnancy weakens a woman's immune system, make her more vulnerable to the virus.
Wait a minute. Sarah's been really sick, too. Sarah's just getting sicker and sicker, as a matter of fact. It's just an ever-unfolding spiral of illness with you.
That is just mean.
Maybe pregnancy sweeping the building. Maybe that's what it is. Is everybody feeling it?
The pregnancy virus is rolling through?
Has somebody put, has there been some sort of a carved fertility god stuck underneath one of the control boards or something in here? So, I'm just...
That is the worst thing you could ever say. Just stop. Ugh.
Well, it's rare to see so many pregnant women get sick. Most of them in their teens or early 20s, all recovering and out of the hospital.
What would you rather have, a baby or a tumor?
Tumor.
Okay, just checking. Because because it's legal to throw the tumor away. You know, that's why. You don't get into trouble for that.
Oh, listen to this. Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin of Coldplay have been finally legally married in Santa Barbara as of Friday. So she's pregnant, too.
Yeah, all right.
Two? Along with Jolie?
The Coldplay, I don't know, it's sort of like Radiohead with, all the originality and sort of creativity sort of removed. You know what I mean? It's like they just hooked up a hose and sucked out everything interesting about Radiohead. Voila! Coldplay. And that's kind of what it is.
Well, the trials of a Great Falls teenager, I think that's Montana, isn't it?
Yeah.
Accused of deliberately striking a woman with his SUV 6 months ago has been moved to March 1st and may be nationally televised. Court TV has asked Judge Kenneth Neal for permission to broadcast the Daniel Robbins trial live from McNeil's third floor courtroom in the Cascade County Courthouse. Robbins will be tried as an adult on one count of attempted deliberate homicide, facing 10 to 100 years or up to life in prison for deliberately trying to kill 48-year-old Patty Emanuel with his Ram Charger on May 27th. He told police he purposely hit her so he could have sex with her corpse. I don't believe I just read that. He told police he purposely hit her so he could have sex with her corpse.
Yeah, because then in addition to being dead, she'd have the benefit of being, exceptionally pliable, probably. So, I'm sorry I said that. That was really, even for this show, I think we've officially gone beyond the line there with that statement. That was beyond the pale.
Time for the Aussie Watch.
Here's your Aussie Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Well, as Ozzy Osbourne continues to recover from his all-terrain vehicle accident on Monday, longtime bandmate Tony Iommi is offering his concerns with the singer. But the Black Sabbath guitarist also admits he's not surprised that Osbourne had such a crash, noting the singer has always been restless.
It's just the way he is. He'll just go rearing around on something, and usually when we're away, or if we go to record or something, he takes his gun out and he'll be shooting at targets and whatnot. He just doesn't sit still, really, so that's him. He just likes to get out and play about.
Does Ozzy seem like the kind of guy that ought to have a gun, be carrying one around? And I think Henry totally nailed this right on the head last night, this morning. He was talking about, if you were Sharon Osbourne or whoever's assigned, because you got to figure there's somebody assigned to keep an eye on Ozzy when nobody's around, right? I mean, you got a nanny for the kids. You know that they have somebody keeping an eye on fat little Jack, so he didn't go and dope himself off into the next world. You got to figure that there's somebody who's assigned to keep an eye on Ozzy when Sharon's not around. And you figure at a certain point you'd just be putting an elastic tether on that guy. So he can't really, Ozzy ought to just be fitted with one of those collars that just puts out an electric shock so he can't get beyond the perimeter of the house. That's a guy that can barely feed himself, I would speculate.
Well, he's been working hard to support his single Changes and was looking forward to some time off.
Of course, he's been promoting that. Mm. And then with this now, God, I don't know what's going to happen now. Mm. It's a shame, really, because I think he's been waiting for this break, to get away from it all and be at home maybe for Christmas. And
Two things. First of all, the word as of this morning, and it sounds probably worse than it is, but I know as of this morning, Ozzy was on a ventilator.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what a ventilator is, but I don't necessarily know what that says about his condition, because I guess
Imus has one.
Well, yeah. Well, Imus, does Imus have a ventilator? What is that thing that Imus is on, or is it just oxygen? What it
He's
like
not
a,
even on it anymore. He was using oxygen for a while.
But it was a full-on ventilator, or was it just
No. It was just like a tank, and he had a little.
Yeah, it was like an asthma thing.
Yeah, a little Vader mask.
Well, Ozzy's on
that pumps some oxygen.
A full-on ventilator as of this morning. So he was only supposed to be on it for a day. He's been on it for two now. So here's hoping that that it doesn't turn into anything serious. Secondly, God forbid, and I don't wish to be morbid, but God forbid Ozzy just snuffs it this week and dies. I mean, that would suck for a lot of reasons. A, because he's the Prince of Darkness and we'd miss him. B, because how'd you like to die your last single being some song with your, I don't know, kind of cute but really blindingly untalented daughter covering a Black Sabbath song? I mean, I don't know at what, I mean, you just know that's where the ghostly hand of Sharon is coming into play, because the idea that you would get Kelly Osbourne to sing an unassailable Black Sabbath classic, and then further sort of put the stamp of approval on the abomination by having Ozzy do it with her is unconscionable on many levels. So let's hope that he lives just so we can blot the memory of that out of our collective brains.
That's today's Ozzy Watch.
Here's your Ozzy Watch for Wednesday on the Rick Emerson Show.
Jessica Simpson, Nick Lachey, Three Doors Down, Hall & Oates, The Black Eyed Peas, and Jason Mraz are among the artists who will help Dick Clark ring in 2004 on Dick Clark.
Did you say
Prime Time? Yeah.
Did you say The Black Eyed Peas?
The Black Eyed Peas.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. They'll help Dick Clark ring in 2004. This guy's barely still alive himself. It's the Primetime New Year's Rockin' Eve. They'll join rapper Bow Wow, Rascal Flatts, Jagged Edge, and Donna Summer on the annual special, which will mark Clark's 32nd consecutive year as host. They will not actually attend the festivities in Times Square. What? But several other acts will be there in spirit.
All right. Did you see the last year where they showed Dick Clark at the end standing with his wife? And of course, and it looks, you know, it looks
well,
like
that's
some
Carrie. They have a silly posturpedic mattress.
Well, it looks. Okay. It looks like, you know, some guy helping like his own grandmother across the street. I mean, it's kind of you've got to wonder. It's, you know what it is? It's like that Twilight Zone episode about the guy that wins money to trade in his old withered body for a new one, but he loses half his money in a card game, so he can't get the other, you know, the body for his wife, and so she's still old and he's real young. That's what Dick Clark looks like next to his wife. It really is like both Dorian Gray and his portrait next to each other, because she looks old and wrinkled and wizened and, I mean, she looks like some sort of a tether bag that you'd carry something in. And then, of course, he's next door and he looks like Dick Clark. You know, it's just, it's freaking weird, man.
Maybe it is him, like, carrying a Louis Vuitton bag or something. Carrie might be over there, silly posturpedic mattress.
Yeah.
So, this is who else is gonna be there. But not live. Aerosmith, Bon Jovi, Elton John, Kiss, Avril Lavigne, and Tim McGraw. That's going to be December 31st.
All right, so don't miss that. If you're like me, if you just spend every New Year's at home on the couch being a loser, watching Clyde suck down huge amounts of drugs and, you know, and hail Sum 41 as the greatest band he's ever seen in his life, that's what you want to be tuning into.
Then unsealed warrants in the murder case of Phil Spector indicate actress Elena Clarkson died of a single gunshot wound to the mouth. They say Clarkson's broken teeth were scattered all over the foyer at a nearby stairway.
Oh, boy.
And blood was smeared on the wood railing stairway in the back door handle. Now, this is from the L.A. Times. The affidavit also says Spector's driver told police that after bringing the pair to his Alhambra home, he thought he heard a gunshot, and Spector came outside with a gun in his hand and thought, well, he'd kill someone. Prosecutors had charged Spector with murder, but he said the nightclub hostess and aspiring actress committed suicide.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
Gross.
Jim is a full-time listener on a cell phone. What's up, brother?
Rick,
what do you got?
I just wanted to let you guys know that it may already be pretty serious for Ozzy. If he's on a ventilator, that means that they put a tube down his throat,
yeah,
past his vocal cords, and it's not uncommon for it to happen that a person would be their vocal cords would be partially or completely paralyzed after that.
Oh, that sucks.
So he wouldn't be able to sing. He might barely be able to talk. not that he can really talk now.
Yeah, I mean, that's not, yeah, you're really just kind of going the other 5% there. But I, well, that would be, I mean, you know, he's had a long career. Better it happened now than when he's, you know, 25
yeah.
or whatever. But that would be,
but,
that would
you know,
be terrible.
The same thing, or something similar anyway, happened to Julie Andrews.
Julie Andrews, when she went in for surgery, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Because they have to, for certain surgeries, they have to ventilate you. They have to put you on a machine.
Yeah.
And she tried to sue the hospital, and I don't think she was successful because
no.
it's something that just can happen.
She tried to sue because she did, unlike Mariah Carey, who kind of says this is a scam, Julie Andrews did have like a 5-octave range or something, and I know now her voice is, relative for her anyway, it's pretty much trashed at
right.
this point. So,
right.
Yeah, that sucks. All right, that's Jim on a cell phone. Here's Tim Riley in the KOTK newsroom.
Andy Serkis has the daunting task of voicing the character of Gollum as well as providing the motion capture for the animated creature in Return of the King.
I have not seen this, but apparently on the, I think it's the Two Towers, expanded DVD set, because there's the, you know, there's the regular one, and then there's the pimp one they put out, you know, whatever, it's like 9 discs. Apparently there's a whole huge section where you see side by side the Gollum scenes. Have we all seen Two Towers?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a side-by-side feature where you can see Gollum crouching in the rock and doing the thing and eating the fish and weaving a basket and doing whatever. And then off to the left, you can see the guy, Andy Serkis, like on there on location. Because he went and acted all that stuff out, and then they sort of, whatever, painted over him or something. You know, but he actually had to go and do all that stuff. So there's a whole huge behind-the-scenes thing about that on the second version of the Two Towers DVD. And I know in Return of, this is not a spoiler, I know in Return of the King, because, you know, it's not a big secret. If you haven't seen the Two Towers and don't want to, just quit listening for the next 10 seconds. The books have been out for 50 years. I shouldn't have to give this goddamn warning anyway. Because, he was not always Gollum. He was Smeagol and the ring and the corrupting and the hey, my skin is gone and so forth. But at the beginning of the Return of the King, you see him in his previous state as Smeagol before he was corrupted by the ring. So that's kind of what he's talking about.
Well, he talks about the improved look of Gollum and seeing the Hobbit character transform into Gollum.
In terms of the look, I think he's really, really, you know, the wrinkles in his eyes, all the facial muscles have been developed even more and more. And for the journey of the character, it's been pretty good. It's been pretty cool being able to see him before the ring corrupted him, see that journey. I think it works well for him, and it works well for the structure of the film.
As far as I know, I think it's actually the opening scene of the film too. Is like a flashback, and you see him back with his brother.
Tell us more about the sequence in which Smeagol becomes corrupted by the ring and turns into Gollum.
That sequence was originally going to be in the Two Towers, but Peter and Fran Walsh decided that it would be much stronger dramatically to leave that and let the public kind of let Gollum sink into the public consciousness over the year, and then to reveal. So it keeps it to reveal who he was, you know, which I think is really clever and works well.
Tell me how you track Smeagol and Gollum's conversation at the same time.
I couldn't ever really play just one and then wait and do all the Gollum bits and then do all the Smeagol bits. You know, it had to be done as a flowing, moving scene. And so we shot that scene as a single scene, with me just inclining my head from side to side. So, I mean, you know, I would go, you know.
We want it. We need it. We must have the precious.
That's unnerving.
We must take them to her.
You know, so I'd go on and I'd be able to play them off against each other, but just by really focusing on those different parts.
Jesus Christ.
That was scary.
Jesus God.
I didn't see that coming.
Okay, I'm all a creep now. What the hell? Let's never play that again. Let's just get rid of that. All right, it's 503-250-1080 in Portland. 1-800-727-5955. Oh, we got a Tamako update on the way. We're going to hear from the Tamako guy and find out the latest and the finest in cross-pollination and breeding of the fruits and vegetables with the poisonous, dangerous nicotine. So that's American know-how. So we got a Tamako update on the way. Jolie from the front desk later on. Top 5 guys that other guys most want to be like. Stay there. We'll be back.
on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Yeah, that voice will come back to you when you're trying to sleep tonight.
Oh, it totally will.
There's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
127 T Rally with news brought to you by La Rogue Jewelers. The holidays aren't the holidays without a trip to La Rogue Jewelers. No interest, no down this year at La Rogue's. Downtown Washington Square and Landmark Diamond Quarter on 82nd and Foster. Never before has a live-action film featured a boy playing Peter Pan. This time it's Chasing Isaacs. He says this version of Peter Pan has never been done before, and he talks about why he didn't feel that they were competing with the cartoon.
Nobody's ever done Peter Pan, the story, J.M. Barrie's story. They've done straight spin-off things from it. There's a very young child's cartoon, which is magnificent on its own terms, but it's nothing to do with what we did. You know, we've got a story here which is a big action-adventure romance comedy, and using state-of-the-art special effects and real people and real emotions. And, you know, so you're not really competing with a cartoon. Well, certainly I didn't feel that at all. And once I'd read the script and then got back and read the book and realized what amazing material it was, it was kind of exciting because you knew that people might think that they'd seen something like it before and we were actually presenting something brand new.
Jason Isaacs, who plays the dad and Captain Hook. Then there's Jeremy Stumpter, who plays Peter in the film. He talks about what he hopes kids get from watching it.
Hopefully they're going to go out and read the book, because this movie is so true to the book from J.M. Barrie. And the Disney version, it was about Peter Pan, but it was like...
it wasn't the story, was it?
The story from the original, the cartoon, it was based on it, but it wasn't the same story.
So somebody else got their tongue bitten off?
It had its own fantasy to Peter Pan. I mean, Peter Pan grew up, he has kids now. There's a baseball field on the pirate ship. But this movie is J.M. Barrie's story of Peter Pan, and I think if he was here right now, he'd be proud of it.
I would rather pull my lungs out with a rusty fork than see whatever this is that they're talking about right here.
Peter Pan.
Yeah, that's not ever going to be seen by me.
Showers tapering up this afternoon, then coming back tonight, and cloudy chance of showers tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.
Doug!
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up later on, top five guys that other guys most want to be like in honor of Hugh Hefner today, 50 years ago today, putting out the first issue of Playboy magazine. We're going to get a Tamacco update with our good friend Rob Bauer, the man who created Tamacco. Hey, in case you're wondering, here's another reason why the universe is unfair to you and me. Rapper, actor? MC Hammer? Well, whatever. Do you think that's one of those things where people just put it sort of at the end of their name because they think that people just sort of won't question it, like we'll just sort of swallow it?
Nah, he's been in a couple of like low-budget kind of movies and stuff.
What? What movies has MC Hammer been in?
I'll tell you what, there's a... I don't know the name of it. There's this movie where he actually plays a struggling musician who helps kids in impoverished community. I saw part of it on VH1 once. It was just horrible.
No, really? That seems so unlikely. In any event, rapper, actor, MC Hammer is developing a sitcom for the WB. How many chances do you get? Okay, one successful record. Two unsuccessful records before that. Like five unsuccessful records after that. Several bankruptcies. A failed ministry on the Trinity Broadcasting Network. A failed comeback. How many options on this do you get before you've sort of exhausted the goodwill of everyone on Earth? The show is part of the development deal that Hammer has with the network. A development deal. That's another thing that you get as soon as you step off a plane in Los Angeles, I think. Doesn't matter. If you stop at a Froger shop and you're there for more than 35 seconds, somebody will give you a development deal. A development deal is like, you know what it is? It's like being assistant producer on a film. It means you drove by the studio. That's all it is. Just some guy got within earshot of the set. That guy, make him assistant producer on the film. Anyway. He was also in that show, The Surreal Life. The program is... any show that also features Corey Feldman is not anything. You can officially not put that on a resume, all right? Presence of Feldman, not resume material. That's what I'm saying.
Goonies.
The program is loosely based on Hammer's own experiences as a family man and minister. This will be, and I'm predicting this right now, this will be yet another sitcom where he plays a character who has the same first name that he does, because these guys are also goddamn stupid that they cannot act if they're playing somebody who has a different first name. That's why every time a musician, every time a stand-up comic, every time some sort of quasi-minor celebrity gets a sitcom, it's always just their first name. That's just the way it always, you know, Ellen, Dave, Frank, Ted, Phil, Wanda, you know, it doesn't matter, whatever it is. All right, there you go. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Let's now welcome to the show Rob Bauer, the creator of the one and only Tomaco. It's half tomato, half tobacco, but all tasty. How are you, sir?
Really good.
So what's the letter? You know, you now, we had this story a couple weeks ago about how you created this tomaco plant. It's a sweet, juicy tomato that packs all the punch of your favorite cigarette, except that you couldn't actually eat it because it would kill you dead.
Well, we took it to the lab and actually measured the nicotine in the tomaco fruit, and
yes,
there was no nicotine in it, to my great relief.
Well, so it's not really, so now it's basically just a tomato.
It's a tomato. The leaves have nicotine in them, but the fruit doesn't. I was getting concerned that there'd be, you know, lots of nutcases out there like me planting tomaco everywhere, and people would be dropping right and left by eating poison tomaco, mm-hmm. But thank goodness that the
well, this seems even better though, because it's because you can totally, this is a product that does two things in one. You know what it is? This is something that this is like that that Vitamix thing, you know, or the Vegematic, that it makes soup and then also cuts tomatoes whisper thin and then makes ice cream. This is it's tomato, but it's a tomato you can also smoke.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend smoking the tomaco leaves, even though they have nicotine, which is an insecticide, which isn't a good thing to smoke in the first place, but tomatoes have a weird kind of green earwax tasting, smelling goo on the leaves normally.
Yeah, well, not like, you know, not like that soothing, pleasant taste that cigarettes have now.
Exactly.
Yeah. You ought to see if you can grow sort of a mentholated tomaco plant.
Yeah, wrapped it with mint.
Yeah, there you go. So what is it? So, I mean, what is it you're going to do with this exactly?
Well, Ian Maxtone Graham, who wrote the episode, actually called me at home.
This is the episode of The Simpsons in which Bart and Homer create a tomaco plant.
Right. So he's going to get the second tomaco fruit in the world.
Right on.
And then, of course, with the third one, I got to put it up on eBay, right?
Excellent. Now you're gonna swing a little tomaco love towards your friends here at KOTK?
Sure.
A little
sure.
Something? Hook a brother up with that?
Yeah, I have no idea what anybody would do with this other than watch it kind of wrinkle up and melt down on your desktop.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that it would kill a guy if somebody ate it?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, then we should just see if we could just... We should just find some homeless guy and pay him to eat it. I mean, that's what I'm always tempted to do with anything that's just shitting around here. Something covered with... I mean, anything that's not eaten by Clyde, that is. If it's, you know, if it's covered with mold or something just been, you know, it's been turning into gelatinous sludge underneath the counter or something, you just find a homeless guy. Those are guys that do anything for a dollar, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, I've kind of hit my peak, and I'm down on the downhill slope on this thing. I think my peak was talking to Ian Maxtone Graham.
Well, dude, how can you top talking to the Simpsons guy? There's no.
And he asked me, invited me to come down and sit in on a writing session and listen to him toss stuff out. Yeah,
bastard. That's
been the peak.
Dude, well, that's going to be the peak. You might as well kill yourself after that, because that's the peak of your whole life, friend.
The latest thing was I was interviewed by a Lincoln High School student.
Yeah.
And, of course, this show. So,
And also those guys on KOTK. Well, congratulations on all this. I mean, look, I mean, hell, man, there's like 9 million people in the world that would give the, you know, would just give anything to sit in on a Simpsons writing session. So, congratulations for getting to be part of that. Well done. All right. Well, let us know if anything else happens. And you, next time, you know, if you have one of those tomacos to spare, remember your brothers in broadcasting here. Excellent. There you go. Rob Bauer, the creator of Mr. Tomaco. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800, 727-595. We've got people now calling asking to eat the tomaco. Why would you? Well, we'll find out. We get back, we'll talk to people who want to eat the tomaco for free for reasons that sort of elude explanation right now. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. Jolie from the front desk coming up later with How Chicks Think. Later on in the show, we've got today's top five. Top five guys that other guys most want to be like. Stay there. We'll be back. It's the Rick Emerson Show. The U.S. making deals. Damn, it feels good to be a gangster. I mean, one that you don't really know. Riding around.
around town in a drop top Benz, hitting switches in my black 6-4. Now gangsta ass niggas come in all shapes and colors. Some got killed in the past, but this gangster here was a smart one. Started living for the Lord and I last. Now all I gotta say to you, wanna be, gonna be, peace eating, stock sucking pranksters. When the shit jumps off, what the fuck you gonna do? Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 503-250-1080 in Portland or 1-800-727-5955. We're here with Sarah Dillon, F. Matt Peterson, Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom. Coming up later on, today's top five. Top five guys that other guys most want to be like. In honor of Hugh Hefner 50 years ago today, launching Playboy magazine. We've got Jolie from the front desk coming up shortly with another edition of How Chicks Think. In Portland, a full-time listener, this is Anaya. What's up?
Hey, hey, Rick.
Hey.
I will volunteer to do the tamako.
For what reason?
Well, see, here's the thing. My favorite food in the world is tomatoes.
Right.
And I'm a heavy, heavy smoker. So it seems like the combination of all things I love.
So this is kind of a two birds, one stone kind of a thing.
Exactly.
All right.
And plus, it'd be funny as hell to tell people that I ate a tamako.
It really is, because you got to figure there's only like three people on Earth that can even sit. Well, probably less than that, because, you know, the guy who grew it's not even going to eat it.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I feel like I should get maybe like a T-shirt saying I did it,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But that would be all I'd really want.
Well, I mean, because so it's just going to be you and the Simpsons guy, pretty much. So you will be breathing a kind of rarefied air there. You will be in an elite group of people.
Absolutely. That's kind of how I view it, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's not like I want to eat some funky new thing, but it sounds like a funny thing to be able to say I did.
So when you're 85 years old and not able to hold your water on the front porch of a nursing home, you go, yes, but I ate tamako!
Exactly. You
All
know
right.
what I'm talking about.
All right. Well, do you have email?
Yes.
All right. Well, do me a favor. Drop us an email. Send me an email. It's rick@rickemerson.com.
Mm-hmm.
Send me an email with, like, a contact number or something, and when we get the tamako, we'll give you a call. Set up a little something, have you come on in here and have you eat the tamako for us.
Sounds fabulous.
All right, excellent. There you go. There's Anaya in Portland. All right, it's 503. Every time, you know, Anaya, I see endless variations on that name, and every time I see it, I always think of Amaya, who's that hot lesbian chick from the real world. You know what I'm talking about?
No, Amaya, she was the stuck-up sorority girl, wasn't she?
No, I thought...
From the Hawaiian cast.
Yeah, but wasn't she all, gay and crap?
No, she was obsessed with this other little frat boy.
Oh, I must be thinking of somebody else.
Amaya was in the same sorority that I was in.
Wasn't Amaya the blonde with huge cans?
Yeah, but she's not a lesbian.
Ruthie wasn't a lesbian. Ruthie just...
No, Ruthie was nuts. She had
spotted
tick fever.
She was kind
whatever.
Of like a saloon door. She just swung both ways.
Wasn't Ruthie the one who went insane because she got bitten by a centipede or something?
What
and she
are
got
you talking
spotty
about?
She
was
she was the alcoholic and
who
they were going to make her
Mountain
go to
Rocky Mountain Fever or whatever the hell that is.
Are you talking about the real
watching?
World?
There was a real world cast member got bitten by a tick and got Rocky spotted fever, whatever the hell that is, which makes you go insane, which makes you nuts. And she got kicked out of the house because she got bitten by a tick and went nuts.
That was in Seattle.
You sons of bitches. I know what I'm talking about when it comes to the real world.
I don't remember this.
The brown-haired, curly-haired girl.
Yeah, I don't know. I forget her name.
Similar.
I'll tell you, after a while, it does all kind of drift together. I mean, it's other than, you know, who really stands out other than Puck? The answer's no one.
Pedro died.
Yeah, Pedro's dead. Pedro's been dead for 10 years, man. Your ass wants to feel old. Pedro Zamora, dead for 10 years. You know, Puck has got... Man, I just saw Puck the other day on MTV. You talk about a guy that is just... I mean, it's been like an hour and 15 minutes for that guy. What the hell? What is that? The Puck continues to be famous. Not so much me famous as it is the Puck. Yeah, all right. Whatever you say. Hey, speaking of 15 minutes of fame, I want to mention real quickly, Bigger Than Jesus. Bigger Than Jesus, The Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan, which is the one-man show that some of you came to see this summer when we performed it at the Clinton Street Theater when I did that the June or whatever it was of this year. We're bringing it back next month for two weekends. Now with 30% more shameless pandering to our intended target demographic. So you want to come see Bigger Than Jesus, tickets on sale right now. Go to rickemerson.com, and there's a banner in the upper right-hand corner that says Bigger Than Jesus. It's got some little devil horns. Click on that. You can buy tickets. All major credit cards accepted for your purchasing convenience. rickemerson.com. Tickets on sale right now. When they're gone, they're gone. Two weekends at the Imago Theater about a month from now. So newly revised and expanded for your viewing pleasure. So go to rickemerson.com. Tickets available right now for Bigger Than Jesus, The Diary of a Rock and Roll Fan. You want to go do that. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show for another exciting edition of How Chicks Think. It's our good friend Jolie from the front desk. How are you?
Well, I'm not that good.
You know, we heard this thing about the flu. And
yeah.
Apparently, amazingly enough, I guess what it is that the flu is exceedingly common among pregnant women right now.
Well, great. Maybe I have both.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just saying. I'm just trying to keep you informed.
Keep me informed.
Well, that's an icy look.
Yeah. Let's just move on.
A little something I can help you with?
She does have a lovely glow
can you get
about
a
her.
Test? Oh, shut up! You suck.
Yeah, I didn't say that.
Shut up.
I didn't say a damn thing. I'm just trying to keep the people informed about the...
I thought you were going to say keep the peace. Yeah, I don't think so.
No. All right. Well, let's... moving on. All right. Rick, can the harpy explain something for me?
I am not a harpy.
Well,
if
he doesn't.
You use that word again, I am
How
really
do we know
going
he
to
was
kill
talking
you.
About you? Could be any number of people he was referring to.
Yeah, right. You?
My wife has been steadily gaining weight the entire time we've been married. And about 6 months ago, she cut her hair into something that looks only vaguely feminine. Now my only choices are having sex with someone who no longer cares about looking attractive or having sex with someone else, which my wife would, of course, skin me alive for it, not to mention taking half of your stuff for the rest of your life. I feel like I've been trapped by some sort of bait and switch trap. Is this a phase, or will it be this? I'm sorry, will this be it forever? And we'll call him A.
A hole?
Oh, listen to that. Quick on the draw.
Yeah. Okay, well, all right. There's a little survey out that, you know, 89% of men let themselves go. You know, with their beer guts and having the meals cooked for them all the time.
Yeah, but it's not like you're hooking up with guys because they look hot anyway. I mean, that's, you know, that's not
well,
why women
yeah.
marry. That's not why women marry a guy. No woman marries a guy because he looks hot.
Very. Well, why do you don't even want to marry a woman, so why is he even married?
I'm saying, who is that? Okay, you started out talking to me and then
well,
you ended
know,
out talking to him.
Well, you know, guys in general, your show, and they all talk about, you know, not being married. But anyways,
is there a question
well, let,
in here
let,
somewhere?
No. Let me give you a little thing.
Right.
Okay, she's steadily gaining weight once you get married. Well, once you get married...
She turned into her mom.
You
That's
start having, you know, meals together. You sit down. You actually kind of, you know... I'm sure she cooks all three meals for you every day. So that, you know, that has to
Wait,
put,
hold on.
Put some there. And,
no,
you're
just making it up again.
Well, the, he didn't correct, say how many meals
The
that
correct
get
answer
cooked.
is... She can do whatever she wants now because she's got you.
Well, that's what I'm
and
saying.
And if you try to leave, she's going to take half your
Ooh,
stuff.
Ow,
if you sleep with someone else,
God.
She's going to take half your
that's,
stuff.
No, that's the
no.
thing. It's
so,
like, you know, it's like when Lycus says...
Check it out, man.
That's the whole thing. It's like his choices are have sex with her mom, essentially. Look, short hair, putting on weight, she's her mom. Or have sex with somebody else and give away 50% for the rest of your life. That's
You're
it.
You're so shallow.
I'm not.
You know,
I'm shallow.
You know, and I am? Are you saying that I am? I don't think so.
I didn't
you
say
don't know
that.
Me very well
I didn't
now,
use
do you,
those
Rick?
Exact words.
Okay. You're totally messing me up, man.
All right, yeah.
Totally messing me up.
Yeah,
okay, well here's the thing.
Occasion.
Yes, when you are married, when you get married, you don't have you're not going out to the bars all the time. You're not, you know, gussying up and getting all dooted up, you know, to go out and try to get some guys.
That's not the that's so, not what he's complaining about though.
He is complaining that
no,
she's gaining weight,
that
she's cut her hair, that she's not
her hair. We're not talking about getting he's not saying she needs to wear a ball gown everywhere. It just you know.
But it's all
there's
about
no,
it's all the whole it's the whole package
no
of taking care of
the,
yourself. You know, of you know, once you don't feel good about yourself, once you gain weight, you don't want to take care of yourself.
It's not his fault. You know, there's no need to turn into B. Arthur just because you got
B.
a guy.
Arthur.
That's what I'm saying.
God.
You know what I mean?
Okay, well, let me just give him some tips then if he wants to help her, you know, notice that she's maybe gaining a little weight.
Padlock the cupboard.
Oh, God.
Well,
you're so mean.
You gotta call a spade a spade.
No. You know, he can make... Either she doesn't notice, but probably...
She doesn't notice.
Probably
you know,
she
women
does.
Never notice their own weight. That's one thing women never notice. Women never notice weight, especially on themselves. She didn't notice.
I didn't
what,
say
no
she
mirrors?
Didn't gradual. Notice.
What, is he married? Is he married to Helen Keller? There are no mirrors
right.
in the house?
Fine. Let me try something else then here. All right. He needs to just kind of...
you know, subtly make points, like, about what they eat for dinner or breakfast or lunch, whatever she's making for him. You
she
know, about more vegetables, more fruit. Fine, yes, she probably does know that, Rick. And she probably feels like crap about it. So him asking this question really isn't helping her.
Okay, so he's supposed to do what? Just liposuction her
no.
when she's asleep?
What I did...
What are you doing?
Wouldn't that be nice, Rick?
Maybe he could get her a gym membership for Christmas.
Right, they could do things together, you know? I'm sure he's probably not a six-packed, you know, muscly
all right.
gun
okay.
guy.
All right, I'm listening.
But, you know, I'm just saying, he's got to do things to help her out.
Okay, when it comes to the hair, though, you just got to be inflexible. You just have to put your foot down about that and say no.
Hair grows back, okay? Get over it.
Hair grows back, but that what's the point if she's going to cut it again?
Maybe she's not. Girls, you know, you get...
When you're a guy, you just... No, seriously, I'm serious now. When you're a guy in a relationship, you have to put your foot down about this hair thing. You can't
no, you
let
don't.
Them, you cannot
yeah.
let them cut
yeah.
their hair. Or
she's
you know
going to resent you forever, and she's never going to give
care.
You any
You know what? Women are
going
to resent you anyway. They might as well look hot while they're doing it.
Rick, you know, short hair is fine.
I'd rather be
you
resented.
You don't have to take care of it. You don't have to go to the salon all the time.
You know what? I would rather be resented by a hot woman than an ugly one.
Oh, you would not.
You know,
no, you wouldn't.
I really would.
No.
I really would. You know what? The wife's going to find problems with a guy anyway. You know what? Your wife finds problems with you. She's going to do it with long hair, short hair. I'll pick the wife that looks hotter to do it.
Oh, God. You're just...
All right. There you go. There's Jolie from the front desk. Don't forget, you can submit your questions to the Harpy. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. Rick at RickEmerson.com. More on the way. Click today's top five. Stay there. We'll be back.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
Tim Riley with the news, brought to you by your friend in the diamond business, the Shane Company. On the western corner of Highway 217 and Shoals Ferry Road, open Monday through Friday till 8, Saturday and Sunday till 5, or online at shaneco.com. Agard Police investigating a home invasion this morning. After two men forced their way into a house with a woman and three kids inside, they cut the phone line in the 13,000 block of Southwest Asbury Lane. They knocked on the door. Kid answered. They pushed their way in. The men stole jewelry and other items and drove off in a white vehicle after roughly 10 minutes. So far, no suspects. An Air Force spokesman confirms that the cargo plane that had one of its engines explode shortly after takeoff in Baghdad was from McCord Air Base near Tacoma. It was a C-17 struck by a ground-fired missile. One of the 16 passengers and crew aboard suffering minor injuries. Governor Kulongoski says his administration wants to phase out the use of 1,300 SUVs the state uses. It'll improve efficiency and government accountability. Portland Metro forecast for this afternoon, calling for showers tapering off, highs 45 to 50. Showers coming back tonight and tomorrow. Tim Riley, KOTK News.